All right, here we go. We're talking about subsistence and survival. And I'm George Gordon. This is my General Law CD disc. And when we talk about subsistence and survival, most people think in terms of an Uzi submachine gun, camouflage clothes, and thousands of rounds of bullets. I think that the modern concept in most patriots' minds is out of sync with reality. You know, in 1979, I received a copy of a massive document commissioned by the Club of Rome and written by Cyrus Vance 3 days after the president, James Earl Carter, accepted it as official U.S. policy. Now, at that time, Global 2000 was unknown outside of the Committee of 300 and carefully chosen officials inside the United States government. So I could justly claim to be the first private person to reveal in my World Intelligence Review the existence and content of this unbelievable blueprint for genocide on a global scale. And I say unbelievable because at first sight it sounds like something from the pages of Dr. Moreau, almost as unbelievable as the involvement of the British royal family in the drug trade. Now that's the opening paragraph of Global 2000, a blueprint for global genocide. It's written by John Coleman, and it's a part of my subsistence and survival school because there are 64 life-threatening problems that we face that are directly attributable to the pages of the Bible. I know the Bible's kind of a crazy book to be bringing into subsistence and survival. Most people think of terrorism and government's protections, and we're going to go to the airport and we're going to get searched real good to protect us from these terrorists. But you know, terrorism doesn't really pose much of a threat. That's right. Terrorism doesn't pose much of a threat. If you took all of the people killed by terrorists in the last 25 years, you wouldn't have 100,000 people dead. We kill 100,000 people in the United States alone in traffic accidents, boys and girls. 40,000 a year, 2.5 years is 100,000. If the terrorists could shoot down a 747 every day for 365 days with 500 people on board, you could only kill 182,500. There are more than 1,600 flights per day in the United States. Now, there aren't 500 people on all those airplanes, and I don't believe for a moment that they could pick an airplane with 500 passengers on it and shoot one of those down every day. But even if they could, it'd be under 200,000 a year. The Global 2000 Blueprint calls for the reduction of the Earth's population by 90% in the next 50 years. I'll bet you that you haven't heard very much about Global 2000, and yet it's a part of U.S. government policy. Have you heard about contrails, chemtrails, or contrails? That's those airplanes that you see up in the sky that are spreading those trails that look like the exhaust from jet airplanes. But if you'll look at a jet airplane go by, the exhaust from it disappears very rapidly. But if you'll look at these trails that you see from the airliners, or in these case spray planes, those trails stay up there for hours and they spread out into what look like clouds. And that cloud layer contains 23 toxic chemicals, protozoa, and carcinogens that cause cancer, upper respiratory disease, and that program has been going on as a matter of U.S. policy and U.S. law since 1989. I'll bet you haven't heard much about that, but it's a part of the Global 2000 program to increase the death rate among the elderly through flus and pneumonia, which will exacerbate, or in this case, depending upon what side you're on, it will alleviate world population, or it will exacerbate the death rate. Now, however you want to word that. Now, in Exodus chapter 23, verses 22 through 33, God says, I'll be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. Nobody's going to mess with you, and if they mess with you, they're messing with me. In Exodus 15:26, he said, I will lay none of these diseases upon you. Now, in 1900, the death rate in the United States from cancer was nearly non-existent. In fact, your chances of getting cancer were only 1 in 33 in 1900. Today, it's 1 in 2, and by the year 2020, it'll be 1 out of 1. So if you thought that the American Medical Association and the American Cancer Society were working to eradicate cancer, I think you made a mistake. Those two institutions, along with the NCI, the National Cancer Institute, and the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, are working as hard as they can to increase the cancer rate, and they have. They've increased it from 1 in 33 to 1 in 1 in the next 20 years. Now, that's success. That's not good for you, and it's not good for me. But you know, over the next 20 years, I'm going to work very hard to avoid cancer. Avoid heart attack, avoid terrorists. In fact, I'm going to work hard to avoid these 64 life-threatening problems that you can read about yourself in Leviticus chapter 26 and Deuteronomy chapter 28. Those two chapters are the penal clause chapters in the Bible. Penal clause. You see, you got a contract. Now, while patriots are thinking about donning their camouflage suits and their Uzi submachine guns, it's my contention that submachine guns and Uzis are not the solution to bubonic plague, the reduction of the Earth's population by 90%, or AIDS, mad cow disease, chemtrails, terrorists, war, starvation, national captivity, smallpox, disease, plague. Doesn't have anything to do with that. Furthermore, the world's food supply right now is 38 days. In 1972, it was 70 days. Today, it's half that. The population today is 2 billion higher than it was in 1970. And the world's population is growing exponentially. It'll double to 12 billion over the next 25 years. And the AIDS epidemic is now pandemic, that is, it affects everybody in the world. And in fact, the AIDS epidemic today is two-thirds the size of the bubonic plague epidemic of 1348, and it's growing exponentially. Every 3 years it doubles. So AIDS doubles 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. It doubles every 3 years. An airliner shot down every day grows arithmetically 500, 1,000, 500, 2,000, 500, 3,000, 500, 4,000. AIDS grows 1 million, 2 million, 4 million, 8 million, 16 million, 32 million. It's at 45 million people worldwide are now AIDS or HIV positive. 25% of the population of South Africa, 38% of the population of Botswana. And in China, they now have 1 million, and the rate is growing exponentially every 3 years. By the year 2010, they'll have 10 million AIDS positive. Now, that's worldwide, and it's globally threatening to your health, safety, and welfare. You've got a greater chance of dying from AIDS, mad cow disease, chemtrails, national captivity and starvation. In fact, everything that I've mentioned is way ahead of terrorism, and yet your government is spending billions on terrorists and terrorism to keep your mind off of what's really going on around you, what's really threatening to kill you. And that's what subsistence and survival is all about. It actually comes from the Bible, because God Himself is the author of the end-time collapse of the world's civilization. It's called the Great Tribulation in the Bible. The Great Tribulation. And this Great Tribulation is a problem that is going to affect 90% of the people. In fact, it's going to affect 100% of the people, but 90% of them are going to die. And God himself said he's going to kill 90%. And you'll see that in Isaiah 6, verse 13 and 14. He says, I'm going to save a tithe or a tenth alive. So when the global 2,000 people come in from the Club of Rome and they say, well, our objective, our goal is to reduce the Earth's population of useless eaters by 90% over the next 50 years, it dovetails with Bible prophecy. And what God is doing is he is using the New World Order and the global 2,000 people to affect that end. Now the question arises, what are your chances of being one of those 10? That's one out of 10 who survives it. Well, your chances aren't very good. And they're not very good because you don't practice the Mosaic Law, which is the 7th or the 8th class that I'm going to bring up. I'll tell you about the Mosaic Law in a little while. But the reason that the law of God is so important is because there are 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments in the Scripture. One of those laws is called Thou Shalt Not Commit Adultery. Now, adultery is a sport in the United States. And the people that participate in this sport don't understand the deadly consequences that come from it. You see, there's no such thing as a broken law without a penalty. If there was, if you could have a law without a penalty, then you wouldn't have a law, you'd have a suggestion. Now, a law has a penalty. So when God comes along and says that the penalty for sin is death, that is, the penalty for Sabbath breaking is death, the penalty for adultery is death, either he's whistling Dixie through a straw hat, or we have misunderstood the seriousness of this thing called sin. Now, religious people will tell you plainly that the law is abolished and done away with, nailed to the cross with Jesus, and we don't have to be concerned with it. But I don't think that's true. And I don't think it's true because the penalties for the violation of these laws are still in full force and effect. Now, you can sit there and say, well, Jesus didn't mean to kill people any longer with stones because of adultery. I don't believe that's true, but even if it was true, venereal disease, AIDS, and STDs are doing a much more effective job worldwide on this problem of adultery than stoning could ever have accomplished. You know, AIDS is final. Now, there's another disease that's final that I should bring to your attention here while we're talking about diseases, and it's called infectious diseases. And since the mid-1970s, they've recorded about 30 new infectious diseases, almost all originating in Africa, such as dengue fever, Ebola, hantavirus, as well as the return of malaria, cholera, and other age-old killers like smallpox. Now, in the United States, they're talking already about vaccinating the entire population. They now have enough smallpox vaccine to vaccinate everybody in the United States, and typically when they do that with a law of general applicability, which is called mandatory inoculations. Now, I'm going to avoid that. And there's a legal methodology for doing that to avoid inoculation. It normally kills, they tell us, about 2 or 3 people per million vaccinated. But when we take a look at history where compulsory vaccination was actually practiced, the Philippines is a good example, England is another one, France, all the countries of Europe, we find that with the increase in vaccination, we have the increase in smallpox. And that with a decrease in vaccination, there's a decrease in smallpox. So when vaccinations make their entry in the United States, the total potential based upon the number killed the last time around, that is from 1880 to 1920, would be 10 million in the United States. 10 million, not 2 or 3 per million. And I suspect that the reason that it will be that serious, or it could be that bad. I say could be because, you know, there's no way to tell how many people are going to die. When it was done in Egypt, for instance, the number of people that died was in the thousands. When they did it in the Philippines, it was 70,000 that died from the vaccine. When they did it in England, it was around 200,000 that died from the vaccine in the 1880s. And with the decline of the population's immune system in the United States, you know, with such things as, AIDS, herpes, and VD, AIDS is an immune-depressing disease. And any time that you've got a disease that attacks the immune system or is an immune-suppressant disease, and then you come along and give that person a shot of smallpox or, you know, they become exposed to flu or a virus, they get sick. So infectious diseases then are a big problem. And it's a sleeper. It's a sleeper waiting for Revelation 6, where God says that he's going to use disease to kill 25%, that is a fourth part of the earth's population. So the people who are in the process of distributing Revelation 6 are your government officials in Washington, D.C., London, Paris, and Berlin. Those are your real enemies. Those are the real threats. It's your own government in your own country that is the real threat to your life over the next 50 years. So I just thought I'd point that out. Now, I've said over the air a number of times that we need to do something intelligent and constructive to give ourselves the best possible edge, best possible chance of turning up in that 10% that survives. Remember, the people that are carrying this out intend to survive it. You know, people like Prince Philip, who said that he would like to come back as a virus or a bacteria so that he could reduce the earth's population. Now, that's just real neat, isn't it? That guy intends to survive this. And his family, he intends that his family survive it, and I intend to survive it, and I intend that my family survive it, and you can too. But you're going to have to get into compliance. Now, let me show you what I say, or what I mean by this thing called compliance. If you take a look at the 133 titles of law contained in the Bible, now let me break this down for you. The Bible has 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments divided into 133 laws. That's all there is. There are laws concerning integration, Christmas, pork, Easter, interracial marriage, unjust weights and balances, witchcraft, sodomy, abortion, adultery, usury, voting, blood, fat, census, schools, wills, you know. Now, there are more than one statute that regulates unjust weights and balances, witchcraft, sodomy, abortion, adultery, usury, voting, blood, fat, and the census, and so on. But there's only 133 laws, 133 subject matters. And out of the 133 laws contained in the scripture, we Americans are still practicing 52 as a nation, 52, and we violate 81. Now, I don't know how many abortions it's going to take or how many sodomites it's going to take or how much adultery or how much usury it'll take to destroy the nation. I do know that we have not done it yet. We have not succeeded as of this moment in time. But we are doing everything in our power to accomplish that goal. There's a limit to abortion, sodomy, and witchcraft. We haven't reached that limit yet, but it's not because of any lack of trying on our part. And at some point in time, like Sodom and Gomorrah, which are mentioned in the New Testament a time or two, as being examples that we ought to learn from. My common sense tells me, you know, I'm just a crummy plumber, but, you know, my common sense says that if you're going to give God the finger, that at some point in time, he's going to react to that. Well, now that's assuming, of course, that there's a God. Most people believe in evolution, that there is no God, so we don't have a problem there isn't going to be any comeuppance at some point in time. There's never any retribution. This is taught both in church and in public school. But I want to hedge my bet, just in case there is a God, and just in case we didn't evolve from green algae, and just in case the Club of Rome, and just in case the Global 2000 people mean what they say and say what they mean in their publications, I want to give myself the best possible edge. And I figured that the best way to do that would be to swear off of such high-risk activities as sodomy, witchcraft, Sabbath breaking, and eating unclean meat. Now, if you are of a mind like I am to exercise a little discretion here before we go whole hog into this New World Order program, this United Nations program, and you want to learn how to hedge your bet, then I would like to suggest subsistence and survival. And we'll start with these 64 life-threatening problems. We'll take a look at Global 2000, and I'll show you step one, step two, step three. And we'll take a look at this from the biblical perspective, because I think that God and the Bible have the best solution for the Global 2000 nightmare. I think it's a better solution than Uzi submachine guns and camouflage suits and 10,000 bullets. Now, I took a look at Waco, I took a look at Ruby Ridge, and I analyzed that in some detail, and I came to the conclusion that if I could avoid that, I think I'd be money ahead. And the same thing is true now with the terrorist threat. I think I'd like to avoid that terrorist threat. So if I stay out of high-rise buildings, in fact, if I stay out of high population density areas like New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, New Orleans, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, I think if I stay away from those places as much as possible, that I'm going to increase my chances of avoiding that nuclear weapon smuggled into the United States from Iraq, North Korea, or Russia, or someplace else, Pakistan, India, in a container, on a container ship. You know, if you just torched off one of those nuclear weapons, let's say in San Francisco Harbor, over, you know, on the Oakland side, I think that that would just about collapse our economy, and that's one of our 64 life-threatening problems. We need to have a way to make a living that's outside of the economy, outside of the system. You know, I don't think I want to be tied to the U.S. economy when the thing turns turtle. I think I'd like to be able to provide my food, clothing, and shelter from some other source other than working at Boeing Aircraft, General Motors, or IBM. Don't you? All right, now this class is a 5-day school, as are most of my schools, 5 days. And if you want more information, why don't you just go ahead and call the law school? This school is also on CD, it's on compact disc. And the paperwork is about 500 pages, it's a 3-inch binder, and we'll take you through 20 steps that will get you or give you the best possible odds or chances of living through this, kind of like Noah and the Ark. What is the best possible chance of living through the Great Flood? And that was with an Ark. And your best possible chance of living through this Global 2000 and the New World Order, I think, is from Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 and these 64 life-threatening problems. If you knew what to prepare for and you could prepare for those, God kind of had in mind that he was going to save about 10% of us alive. And I think practicing the law of God is the best possible scenario. So why don't you give us a call here, the telephone number, 417? 273-4967. Or just go to the webpage. It's georgegordon.net. Georgegordon.net. Click onto the email machine. Send me an email request. Hey, we'll take up how to make $100,000 on 25 acres right after this. Stand by.